My heart is filled with gladness. Oh, look. The orchestra's getting ready. Dance with me, George. extras getting ready. Dance with me, George. This may be very difficult to understand if you try to understand it in your mind, in your thoughts. Enlightening is a more appropriate word. Enlightening, because it is a forever movement through that which you call the Father, God, the Source, Creator, Creative Spirit. A forever movement. Enlightening, forever making that journey into the Father. You, in this moment, are thinking. But what is difficult to understand is in this moment we are not thinking. We know how to use thought, but we are not thinking. We are not identified with thought. Well, all that is within us and of us is that which is called silence. And the words that come in this moment come deliberately, consciously. Enlightened means a master of thought. Thought is a great tool. But oftentimes, man has become imprisoned. Woman has become imprisoned by thought. We are not imprisoned by thought. Rather, we know how to use thought when it is appropriate, as a creative rising, rather than as that which is called a bondage. We do not worry. When we are with you, as we are with you now, there is nothing that we are more focused upon than that which you are.
Night shift. Night shift.
We are focused on all things.
Yeah.
Contemplate. There is a radio station broadcasting. Radio frequency. There are many radios. And the music or the voice is equally received by all of them.
Night shift.
It's my favorite show.
Is the way we are focused upon you. But we do not worry. We are not bound by thought. because when we are not with you, we love you, but we don't think of you.
Night shift.
It only happens. Once a week.
Night shift.
For professional use only.
It only happens here.
Night shift.
Mondays.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Midnight.
Night shift.
You can feel it.
Night shift.
It's invisible.
Night shift.
What? Night shift.
But you can hear it.
What night shift? What?
Mondays.
Night shift.
You will be absorbed.
During the shift.
Night shift.
Between night and day.
Yes.
The name of the show.
Night shift.
Night shift.
The place that you are.
Night shift.
I like this show.
It's invisible, but you can feel it.
Night shift.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Night shift.
Mondays, midnight, where life is like science fiction.
Night shift.
Night shift.
It's about the music.
Night shift.
It's about the talk.
Radio. We are focused. We are focused into nothingness. We are focused into all things. Contemplate. There is a radio station broadcasting.
What?
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Now, this is going to be just a little bit unpleasant.
Just thinking.
Don't move. Stay very still. Don't talk.
How long does this take?
Not long.
Hi, this is Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia.
This is Tom Central. Channel open for Executive Order AUC-3423.
Listen to this, boys.
Now. Where are my people?
Night shift.
I think there's no place to hide.
Night shift.
So, Byron, I think Chris is calling.
Talk to me, Byron.
Is that you, Chris?
Good morning, Chris.
Byron.
Yo, bro.
Byron is like
guardian of just goodness.
I'm working on it, Chris.
You know, like just hearing your voice makes me smile.
What a wonderful day we have.
You know?
Yes.
It's like you would be my happy affirmation every day.
My God, Var, you know, how can you even sit through this? Aslaxon. All right.
Hey, Rose, sir.
Do you know what Aslaxon is? That was a character from Ibsen's...
You know, it's obvious that Mike is...
You know what that means in that
language? It's obvious, Byron, that Mike is jealous that you and I have a connection.
I know.
Yes, I am. Well, Chris...
I see you, Dan.
I think that I'm getting feedback.
You're getting feedback?
Yes, I think that means we're online.
From where?
From being on.
We're streaming.
We're streaming, Byron.
Let me see if we're streaming. I'll take a look.
I know I'm live and in living color.
Yeah. Right now,
I'd say
still,
so.
It's still offline. Let me see if it reboots.
Still offline?
Yes.
I see you, Byron.
I see you.
Live broadcast has started.
Amen. Welcome to the world.
Byron.
Mike.
Why don't you stand up, Byron?
Yes.
Everybody see you. Come
I
close
am
to the camera, Byron.
Standing up. I'm coming close to the camera.
Yes,
this is
take
me.
Take your headphones off.
Oh, yes.
Okay, come close to the, okay.
I'm not seeing anything, Mike.
You're not seeing anything?
No, it says live broadcast started, but there's no picture coming up.
Is this close enough for you to try it again?
Yes. There we are. Hi.
Stay there, Byron.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mike.
70 days ago, by the way, was the last time we broadcast live.
No.
That's what it says here, 70 days. 69 days ago. How appropriate.
You know what the problem is here?
I couldn't imagine.
It's the connection of BAI.
Unfortunately, the signal that I have to get here, Big Net BAI, is questionable. So I want to introduce a co-host, Byron.
All right.
And you stay there, Byron. Don't move. Don't move. You're on camera. You're on camera. As the camera comes up, Chris, I want you to say hello to Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Hello, Rachel.
Both of y'all.
No, I was talking to Chris, Byron. Byron, you keep your face to the camera. Face the camera.
You guys doing some kind of weird thing here.
No, but you can talk to Rachel for a minute while we set up the camera.
Hello, Chris.
Welcome.
How are you?
Welcome.
I've heard many things.
You've heard many things?
Many. In, you know, short times.
Really?
The roundup.
What kind of thing? Like good things?
Long hair.
Yeah. Freak? Did he call
Stringy.
Me a freak?
He said you could really toss that hair. You know.
What? Did he call me a freak?
Did he call you a freak? No.
Oh, because that's usually the best description.
No.
Chris is a freak. Usually the best place.
All I'll say here, Rachel, is those who are need not be accused.
Oh. Well, Mike has told me all these things about you.
Don't buy it. He's just trying to bond with you.
All right.
It's like, I don't even talk to him or not.
Oh. Ouch.
Did Mike tell you about the karaoke we did last week?
Ooh, what'd you sing?
We went out to karaoke and he got up and he sang Love is a Battlefield. He did it pretty good, you know.
Did
that
even though I like to sing, you guys didn't invite me to karaoke?
Byron, if you actually think that I'm a karaoke, then you are clearly high.
Mike got up and you don't even want to admit it.
I'm not. I'm such
the
opposite of the karaoke guy.
I'm the opposite. Byron, you're on. You're live. Say hello.
Hello.
Byron.
I'm in live.
So Byron's live, but
Byron?
I can
you see Byron? I see like a frozen Byron.
Yes. Who is that guy?
It says live broadcast, but it's not coming up, dude.
Yeah, oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. He's moving. He's moving.
Yes.
I see Byron moving.
He's on 7-second delay.
You don't see Byron moving?
I don't. I'm not seeing it, man.
Refresh.
I just hit refresh.
Yes.
All right, anybody else? If you're out there, you can call 212-209-295. Wait, 2900, I'm sorry. We're not in marathon anymore. 212-209-2900, and you can call us. And I haven't even given out the theme because, once again, we're trying to stream. So right now the theme is we're trying to stream. But I do have a theme, Byron.
I have theme. I have tickets to give away. I have DVDs to give away. Yes, I do. Life is like science fiction. Rachel has some stories that will blow your mind. Bye. Yeah, I think you can go back to your mic now, Byron.
Dance back.
Yes, you should dance back. All right, so I'm going to play something for you, Byron, in the meantime.
All right.
Okay?
Bring
and,
it on.
And you tell me what you think.
Okay.
This is a piece from the Jazz Lounge Project.
Ah, okay.
All right. And this is for Andrew if he's listening.
talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
You know, Mike, Andrew is very talented.
Yes. Did you enjoy that? What do you think there, Chris? Did you like that?
Incredible. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has so many flavors.
Yes, he does.
Repertoire.
So, and can anybody else verify that the stream is working?
You're not seeing anything?
I'm not seeing anything.
I see
live people.
I see it. I see, you know.
You see me picking my nose.
I see us. And I didn't bring Darth Vader today, though.
I'm streaming.
Are you streaming, Byron?
Yes, I am.
Chris, did you refresh?
Rachel,
yeah,
refresh.
Yeah.
All right, well, Rachel, now that we're back, if anybody else is there, we can answer the phones.
212-209-2950.
No, not 50. You see, you did the same thing I did. We're not in marathon anymore, Byron.
That's right.
212-209-2900. Thank you.
Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Get on board the night shift shuttlecraft. We're cruising in your neighborhood. Night shift.
All right, a couple things I want to mention, Byron, that yes. are going to be here on the show. And part of it has to do, there's a movie that came out.
I heard we have a theme for the evening.
We do have a theme for the evening, and I'm tying it all into the movie.
To the movie,
interview.
Okay. I knew there was a theme.
But here's the thing. There's a new movie that's coming out on DVD. It's called Dumbstruck.
Okay.
And it's one of these movies like, again, as a film critic, there are all these movies I have to see, and it's like, oh, okay. And it's a movie about people who, ventriloquists and not quite ventriloquists, people who use dummies, which is not called ventriloquism necessarily. You know, Byron, okay, let's just say that it's a documentary on the people who do this, from the little white boy in the middle of the country who has a dummy that's a black pimp that, you know, his family doesn't understand why.
I have a question.
To what?
Are these a bunch of dummies that are making this film?
No, it is not, actually. It's very interesting.
I knew there was something to this.
Well, yes. No. And so I'm giving away 5 DVDs, Byron.
Oh, my goodness.
Of the movie. And I'm going to even play my interview with the director. Okay?
Do I have to call in to win one?
Yes, you do.
212-209.
No, you don't call in. Let me tell you what you do. You can email us. That's what you do. You want to get it? You email us. Okay. At lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. That's right. Okay. That's all one word, Brian.
I plan to send mine in.
You're going to send yours in, of course.
Is there a secret code I have to
Yes,
on
there is, Brian. I will give it to you
so
later.
What's the theme?
Okay. Yes. Here's the theme. And going along with, because Brian interrupts me, and as going along with the theme of having a dummy, the whole thing you realize is that these people create a persona. And when I interviewed him, I likened it to like being on the radio. You know, Byron, yes, you are silly in person, but are you this silly in person? Right. And the whole persona, like, here's the question, Byron. Here's the theme. The theme, Byron, is the, I don't want to say the mask you wear, but Byron, what is your prop? What is your dummy? Who's the real Byron and who's the dummy Byron?
What?
So that's the theme, Byron.
Your dummy.
What is your dummy? What do you like to be seen as, Byron?
Yes.
But you're really something else. Hmm. Do you like to be seen as happy when you're really sad?
This radio show for me is my alter ego.
Oh, Byron, you're such a politician.
therapy's supposed to be confidential.
Exactly. Byron can't reveal himself. But no, perhaps you, Rachel, perhaps you could answer the theme and answer the question. Who's the Rachel that people see versus the Rachel?
I think I'm a lot thinner inside. I think I'm maybe better looking. Maybe.
I understand.
I ate fried pizza tonight, so.
Fried pizza.
Oh,
look at me in the live stream. Oof. Yeah, fried pizza. Fried pizza's a thing now. They fry it.
How do you fry pizza?
They fry the crust first. Right. They deep fry it. It's like heavenly. But I mean, I'm suffering.
How many pieces did you have?
I had a whole thing.
You had a whole thing.
I had a whole thing.
Like, what's the whole thing? Like a mini pizza?
You know, yeah.
Okay, okay. A personal pizza.
A 10-inch more and more pizza?
Byron, why are you on a different mic? Why are you leaning it to? What's going on? All right, well, no. Here,
well, I'm on streaming TV. I got to put action
into this. Alt personality that talks in a different mic about fried pizza.
I'm auditioning.
He's getting set. So I want to know.
I'm saying the volume is peaking on the...
Is the volume peaking?
That's what escape velocity is saying.
Okay, the escape velocity.
How's that?
Is the hatch closed?
I don't know yet. Wait, I'm just trying to...
How's that?
Yeah.
I'm still not seeing it. I'm not sure if escape velocity is listening... Tell me,
if escape velocity is hearing, he's hearing it. If he must
hearing
be
it, are you seeing it though?
Right. Chris, are you on a Mac or a PC there, man?
I'm on a Mac, dude. You know I'm on a Mac.
there lies the difference.
All right, so Rachel, I do want to know,
what is your dummy?
What's your dummy?
I don't know. Do I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I haven't built it.
You haven't
him
built the
yet.
Dummy.
Yes.
I understand.
I like that answer.
I really thought the theme was going to be hormones.
You thought it was going to be hormones?
Yeah, I was looking over these stories, and it was very hormonal.
Well, you can tell us your first story.
Hell.
What's your first story?
Oh, the first one has got to be Hitler.
Hey, please, tell us about Hitler.
Where is Hitler? Come back, Hitler. So Hitler, it was revealed his hormone plot to lace Nazi leaders' food with estrogen.
A hormone plot.
Hormone plot.
Okay, I like that.
So estrogen was chosen for its tasteless properties, but it turns out that some British spies had put estrogen in Hitler's food in an attempt to make him
estrogen in
more feminine,
Hitler's food,
and less aggressive.
It's true, Byron.
Less aggressive.
All right.
Okay. This was a black ops.
This was clearly a mission. Go ahead, finish, please.
Well, there was...
Navy SEALs, huh? Filtering the Führer's... Yes, go ahead.
Hoping to pacify him by this attempt, the stab at estrogen attempt. But there was also several other things that were revealed, including Hitler's ordering of sex dolls to be sent to Nazi soldiers.
Yeah, I read about that.
In an effort to prevent them from attracting syphilis from prostitutes.
That's right. Out in France, they...
You get, like, Nazi-issue sex dolls. Those would go for a lot on eBay if they still are. Here's a real science fiction part of that story. Yeah. Several science fiction parts of that story to me. Okay, all right. So what if they succeeded and they just made Hitler gay?
He would be the Freudite instead of the Führer.
Fed and they just made Hitler gay, or Hitler could be the first transgender.
Was that a rumor?
I don't know. I'm just saying he could be the first transgender dictator. I don't know. It's just sort of science fiction, don't you think?
Mike, if there were attempts to do this, actually.
And I like the sex doll concept. I like the idea that, like, don't catch syphilis.
And when you're in war and you're
your army-issue, military-grade sex doll.
They claimed that it was, I believe the story was suggesting that there were so many French prostitutes that were distracting the German army, so he bought dolls for his men.
Distracting the army from their mission.
Yeah.
I guess it's great if it's a blow-up. Yeah, stick it in your pack and go wherever you want.
But then wouldn't, like, knights in the camp be weird? Wouldn't be like the early... And the early squeaking... hear them...
When yours pops, you just grab your neighbor. Come on.
You know it would just be a bizarre scene. That's whole just picture the camera panning across.
I said be quiet.
And all these weird sounds and grunts and bursts of air. be too strange. I'm sorry. Chris?
Don't ask me to tell.
What did you think of that story? Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Byron?
I really just want you to sing. I want you to Love is a Battlefield again, because that was such a great... People got up and applauded that.
You know what Sean Connery would say to you, Chris?
You know, it's just more like what it is. You know.
And well, you know, and I, here's what I, the other thing I don't understand about this. I can never get the second camera to work. Like the first time I did this, it went so smoothly. I had a two camera set up. I could switch back and forth.
Yeah, you had it happening.
Yeah. It's just, you know.
It keeps looping itself back to some preset.
The camera's plugged in, but it doesn't see it for some reason.
I guess
we're... Are you waving?
It's not broadcasting. I don't care what you...
Well, that is that's us watching it.
Yes.
So we are broadcasting.
It's not broadcasting.
It's about a minute or two delay. See?
No, I'm not seeing anything.
You're not seeing anything? All right, let's see who's calling. Hello, you're in the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Night Shift. Who's calling? 212-209-2900.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
That music was definitely DGM, you know.
You were enjoying it. Thank you. Now, are you watching us streaming? Can you see us?
No.
You know,
in his mind, he's watching.
Understand.
Yeah. What does Rachel look like?
Well, you'd have to be streaming to know.
Yes.
You'd have to be streaming to
know. Let me just say, there's a certain glow in the booth.
A glow?
Yes, a glow.
You won't say where, right?
Oh, it's right next to me.
No. No.
What we have here.
Yeah. Well, what are her credentials?
What are her credentials? She'll reveal them to you here on the show. So, Byron, you have a story too?
Yes.
Now, are you going to even attempt to answer the question? Because Rachel did a good dodge.
Of course I will. I thought my dodge was very good.
Well, no, I just want to know. It depends on how much you're willing to reveal. And what about you? Clearly, the dummy is the one who's calling.
But
and what is
the
what
dummy
is,
to me is the human ego.
I understand, of course.
Because I had a tendency to become inflated, so you have to keep it in check constantly.
I understand.
Manipulate it and become creative. This is basic Freud.
Of course. Now, besides your views on society, what about you?
What about me?
Yes.
I know.
Do you have a facade?
No, I don't have a facade.
No?
I don't have a facade because I'm a professor of transcendental logic.
I understand. Well, you seem facadeless to me.
Oh, you know what Spock said? You are proceeding with a false assumption, a false premise. Mm. He said to Captain Kirk, who was an admiral then. Mm-hmm. I'm a Vulcan. I don't have an ego to lose.
Yes.
This is Star Trek 2.
Thank you. Well, you definitely don't seem like you have a facade to me.
Hello, I'm...
What's the phone number here, Brian?
212-209-2900.
So tell me the story.
Yes, okay. Famous deli admits no lobster in lobster salad.
Stop.
Right here in New York City.
No lobster in the lobster salad.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Busted, Zabar.
Did they lower the price?
Of course not.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you kidding? The end of this will tell you exactly what they did. All right.
Imitation crab. Why not?
This happened just yesterday. New York seafood lovers have been schooled. Due to the keen eye of a New Orleans writer, a famous destination for Manhattan foodies is now changing the name of its lobster salad. You see, the upscale Zabar's Deli had used that term for 20 years, but it turns out there was no lobster. During a recent visit, the New Orleans food writer read the ingredients. You see, the label read, with wild, freshwater crayfish. Now, owner Saul Zabar reasoned that crayfish, while not Maine lobster, is a distant cousin. Then he got a call from the Maine Lobster Council, which begged to differ.
He got a call from the Lobster Council.
Yes. Excuse me!
It's like,
excuse
you, me! Wait, can you see that happening? He's like, sir, it's the Lobster Council.
That's right.
Okay. I'm ripping off my rubber band.
That's right. Exactly. Now the salad, now check this out.
Get a call from the Lobster Council.
The salad.
It's like you come home.
Goes.
What happened today, honey?
16.
Get a call from the Lobster Council.
The salad goes for $16.95 a pound.
Mm. And a lobster even touched it. Did he even get a touch of the lobster craw?
Yes. This is the salad that costs $16.95 a pound.
Mm.
Zabar says using actual lobster would make it even more expensive.
Oh, so it's we now figured we'd lie and just charge you as much as we could.
For 20 years they've
that's
been selling
right.
this.
And now we can come and charge $24.
This fish story.
Yeah, I'm listening.
So now it's now being renamed Seafair Salad.
$16.95. How much is $16.95?
$16.95 a pound.
Seafair.
You can't ain't even tell me what to see. It says, like, what's in this stuff?
So this is Zabar's. Huh?
Zabar's. Right there on Broadway. You know where Zabar's
how much,
is?
How much do you think they paid their PR person to come up with that?
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? This is we all know that control. Crawfish is far better than lobster anyway.
Yeah, this is far. This is damage right, control.
Just, you know what else I have to say? Do you think they'll finally reveal, I mean, you know, food scandal. Do you think they'll ever reveal, like, have you seen the recent surge, you know, along with halal food, which has taken over the city? It's so bizarre. These lobster rolls?
There's no lobster.
Is there any lobster? And a lobster roll can cost you like $5 for this little. Have you ever seen lobster rolls? They sell them in the street now.
What do you mean $5? They're like $15.
Exactly. That's what I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm sorry. You're right. $15. I'm sorry. You're right. But it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there's any lobster in those?
Actually, 15's on the low end.
Yeah. See, now this fake lobster is $16.95 a pound.
And that's fake lobster.
It's totally legitimate. It's totally legitimate.
Zabar's.
It's so legitimate. Selling it as fake lobster. You think?
Hey, hey, hey! Not fake lobster. Oh my goodness. Real fish. That's not like the imitation crab, like junk together white
all
fish.
All I want is
you don't think it is. What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
Crawfish? If it's crawfish, it's crawfish.
You think is that what they said?
I like crawfish.
They said it's crawfish.
Yes,
it's totally delicious. People don't like them because they look like scary insects.
Right, so why not call it crawfish salad?
Well, now unless you're a southerner, doesn't that sound kind of
no? You see, if you really want to brand it,
yeah,
you brand it. Do you understand, Byron? You extol
but
the virtues
knows
of
that crawfish come from Louisiana.
Yeah, but not everybody has any sense of its value, Byron. You have to create
oh,
a perception.
Oh, wait.
Oh, but no.
That does create the problem
no.
of transportation.
When I'm eating lobster salad, I want lobster salad. I don't want crayfish salad.
Yeah, you know what?
Crawfish. That's a different fish.
This is crayfish.
Crayfish? Oh.
No,
crayfish.
That's not crayfish. That says crawfish.
It's crayfish.
You said it's crawfish.
No, I said it was crayfish.
That's crayfish?
Yes, hello.
What is the difference?
Cray and a craw?
What's the difference now?
What's the difference between the cray and the craw?
Byron, you know? We have to ask SpongeBob this.
Chris?
You know what's really bizarre? What's really bizarre is if you type in Ustream, you go to the search and you type in Night Shift, like a bunch of different things come up, but I can see like a little thumbnail of you guys.
Okay.
And then when I click on it, it ain't coming up. Like when we go to like the broadcast, like it's not coming up on the thing.
Maybe
man.
You should just look through the thumbnail.
And I just it's not, the thumbnail's not moving, but I rebooted my whole computer.
Oh, okay.
All right. You know what? I'll restart for you, Chris, just because.
I don't know if that's what it's doing. And
I see me moving.
Well, I see the camera.
We're all in motion.
Over here.
Escape Velocity, if you're listening, are you seeing it? You're not writing. Write in the chat for some reason. It's just not working right now.
Somebody's chatting here.
Yes, he says he sees it.
He sees us. See? You're not working right, Chris.
Why am I not working right?
Mystery solved.
You're not working
we'll
right.
Boost the signal so we can get
no
to
one
it.
Is surprised, Byron.
Mm. How could it not be working right?
I don't know. Why don't you go? Are you on Safari or?
Yeah, I'm on Safari.
Firefox. Go in Firefox, babe.
Yeah, man.
Don't deal with Safari. Firefox. Go to Firefox.
I can't go into Firefox.
Why?
Because my thing doesn't work in Firefox.
That's because you haven't upgraded Firefox. Get the latest Firefox. Download it now.
I'm not upgrading nothing to nothing, man.
See,
look, this thing worked fine before. Now something's happened.
Yeah, well, you know what happened is that Flash upgraded their protocol.
That would happen.
Well, I know it. They did. I had to install and then
you guys
crashed. Yeah, but you got to do it. You have to. This is what's happening. This is the way it is. We're going to talk about the future of the internet too. I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, Byron, just as a sidebar here, it's interesting to watch words and their meaning in transition in the culture, like blog.
Yes.
Blog used to mean somebody's diary online. Okay. But now, basically, blogging is writing. If you have a column and you get paid, you're a blogger.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And so we've just watched that transmogrify within society, Byron. Just wanted to point that out to you.
Techno talk.
There it is. Just want to say.
I got you.
What, you have a story, Mary?
Yeah, I've got one that's really very funny.
All right, talk to me.
Okay, this is a crackdown on gladiator imposters.
Oh, the crackdown on the gladiators.
Gladiator impersonators, yes. In Rome. This happened just yesterday. Undercover police. This is what kills me. Why do they have to get undercover to bust some people wearing some costumes?
They have to go undercover as a fellow gladiator.
We got
three different gladiators.
We got three different costumes going on at this ball, at this party. Anyway, undercover police have donated tokens.
Undercover, you know, police. Undercover as Roman gladiators.
That's right. Have donned togas, capes, and sandals to stop a turf battle among Italians who impersonate gladiators outside the Colosseum and other landmarks in Rome. And they make money by posing for camera-carrying tourists, you see. The trade has been tolerated for years, but that was before about 20 of the practitioners began assaulting and intimidating their competitors.
They start fighting like,
yes,
real gladiators.
To take over lucrative tourist spots such as the Colosseum, the Forum, and the Vatican. Oh, they, goodness, they've been staging gladiator routines out in front of the Vatican?
No, they've just been brawling in their uniform.
All right, anyway, so police decided to intervene disguised as gladiators. Garbage collectors and tourists.
Garbage collectors.
But their operation of
the
guys
as garbage collectors.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Do you get to choose, or is that chosen for you? Like, no, I want to be. I want to be a tourist. No, you're a garbage collector.
Oh,
next.
Yes, 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 yes. Anyway.
What?
So. They set up camp in the nearby Piazza Venezia.
Set up camp in
they
the
set
Piazza.
Up camp, yes, they did. On Wednesday, police impersonating gladiators were attacked when they told...
Wait. Police impersonating gas?
Gladiators. Yes.
Wait, so they
police had, impersonating gladiators.
Oh, so you could either... So we could either... So you could either be a garbage man, a tourist,
yes,
or a gladiator.
Yes. Now, you see the police... decided to intervene disguised now as gladiators, garbage collectors, and tourists. So they had three different
there
disguises
is.
Going
and
on.
And I bet you didn't get to choose.
Yes, yes. But their operation at the, what it wasn't easy. You see, on Wednesday, police who were impersonating these ghosts told the competitors.
Ghosts?
No.
You can be a ghost too?
No.
I want to be a ghost.
These jokes.
These were attacked when they told competitors to leave the scene. But police dressed as garbage collectors and tourists came to their rescue. You see, the Rome newspaper Il Messaggero said one suspect demanded the money a woman tourist had paid for a photo of herself with a gladiator. But it turned out the pair in the photograph were both undercover officers. They didn't even know who they were.
Wasn't
so they started
real
just
fake
getting
gladiator?
Into
they
it.
They were stinging each
it
other.
It wasn't a real fake gladiator. It was an undercover cop fake gladiator.
Who was
yes!
part of an undercover
I'm
operation.
I'm with you. Like, you come back and you tell the story and they think, like,
oh,
he's been in the
wrong.
Sun
that's
too long.
This is a script written for mm-hmm. Pink Panther, I am mm-hmm. sure. Okay.
He is sassy.
Yeah, I can
did
see
you,
Inspector Clouseau.
The gladiator. Yes. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I know, don't get carried away here. Italian media carried photos or TV footage showing a handcuffed gladiator being taken away and a policeman pretending to be a tourist wrapping an arm around the gladiator's neck. Wow. They stung their own stung operation to make it look like they were stinging so that they could probably warn the real gladiators that they were making a sting operation.
So silly. Isn't there like a mob in Italy?
Exactly.
Like, I'm trying to follow the...
They just sit back and
breadcrumbs on this one, okay?
Have a glass of wine over this.
Yes. And I'm willing to bet you, as they were collaring the fake undercover police person, they were filming it for some kind of TV show, some kind of reality show. It just makes better sense. I mean, why go through all of this?
Is that your concept, Myron?
Yes, why go through
everything
all
in
of
life
this?
is a reality show. Like, yeah, anything that happens at any time.
Why go through
and
all
I love
this?
The idea that like you think something's a reality show, and it's not. It's really your life just going that badly. So, Myron, what do you think?
Now, the what's interesting is that the tourists really like what's going on. They like all this intrigue because they see action in front of them, and it brings Rome to
so
glory.
Lots
days.
Of tourists got shots of the fighting, and I like that part too. Well, there it is, Myron. Life is like science fiction. So, Chris, what do you think?
You know, I think that life sucks because I can't get nothing to work.
Well, you know, Chris, we're streaming.
You know, we're streaming, and it's not coming up because Firefox, everything blows not, as far as I'm concerned, and that's the way it is.
You're tuned to listen to Sponsored
Radio.
We'll
boost the signal. We'll try it again.
WBAI.
I'm not sure how else.
99.5 FM.
Night Show.
Summer.
Summer.
2011. Here. At this point, Rachel, you're wondering, okay, where did Mike find him?
You talking about me?
Chris is
up there. You talking about Byron?
No, who would I be talking about?
We are streaming, so we got to do something.
There it is.
And do a routine.
There it is.
Okay. Talking about Byron.
No, we were talking about you, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, too bad.
So, lifestyle. No, Chris, you know, let's talk about you.
Chris, what is your dummy?
What's your dummy? And I'm gonna play my interview with this director because it's a really interesting
this
film.
This is the director who made the movie about
Dumbstruck. Let me tell you this. We have movie tickets to give away. It's 1 o'clock.
Absolutely.
It's time to give away movie
tickets.
That's
right. Come on.
That's right.
Movie tickets.
Rachel is going to tell us about that great movie. Now, here's the deal. All you have to do, everybody gets in.
Yes.
Okay? All you have to do is email me. I will send you the ticket. You print it out at home. There it is. Doesn't get any simpler than that. I email you the ticket. All you have to do now. The movie is called 5 Days of War. 5 Days of War.
So you're going to email.
I'm going to email
ticket.
The ticket. And you just print it out wherever you
Man,
are.
That is
you
so
email.
High tech.
There it is. Okay, I've got 50 pairs. 50.
Wow.
That's right. Life is like science fiction at gmail.com. That's all one word. Spell science correctly. Life is like science fiction at gmail.com. You. Can get a pair of tickets. Now tell us about 5 Days of War. Tell us all about
5 Days of War is an action-packed international thriller from acclaimed director Rennie Harlan. It sheds light on the complicated politics and dangers involved with exposing the truth during times of war. Inspired by real events of the swift but devastating 5-day war between Russia and the Georgian Republic in 2008, this vivid, heart-pounding film centers around a renegade American journalist Rupert Friend, his cameraman Richard Coyle, and Tatia Emmanuel. Ooh, that's a name. Creaky.
Creaky.
Maybe it's Creaky.
Creaky.
Okay. I think I'm saying it cuter than it is.
Creaky.
A young creaky. Georgian school teacher caught in the combat zone
it's
during
like,
the first
it's like
Russian.
Hickory.
Now you're making me laugh during this dismal.
Sorry. Go ahead. Dismalness. All right, I want to know. 5 Days of War. Keep going. Tell us, because it sounds very interesting.
As the three attempt to escape to safety, they witness and document the devastation from the full-scale crossfire and cold-blooded murder of innocent civilians. They desperately attempt to broadcast the footage they've captured while under attack from the Russian soldiers and local mercenaries, but are met with resistance from American and international networks, either shorthanded from recovering the Beijing Olympics or simply fatigued by war news. The trio realizes their survival is paramount so they can live to broadcast the truth. Also features an international ensemble cast including Heather Graham, Jonathan, oh god, these names, god, you know what, many more.
Val Kilmer's in there. All right, 5 Days of War. Now, this screening is going to be Wednesday, August 17th at 7 p.m. at the City Cinemas at the Angelica Film Center. It's right at the Angelica. You know you want to go. Pair of tickets waiting for you. Life is like science fiction at gmail.com. And she's just giving us pretty much the whole plot. And here's what's interesting, Byron, about yes. that.
Here is yes. what's interesting about that.
I want you to read this story next.
Ooh. Yes. Spoilers don't ruin stories or films.
Now, first, let me preface this to say that I, as a film critic, Byron, I used to love movie trailers. I don't even watch movie trailers anymore because they give away too much of the story for me, and I hate sitting there waiting for the stuff that I, you know, already know is going to happen to be over to get to the stuff that, you know, I want, that I don't know. You know, like, I don't know that already, yes, he's going to turn out to be a woman, and yes, he's actually really an action, you know, he's lost his memory. So, I don't even watch it. So, and I hate, and critics, I got to tell you, I feel a lot of critics are frustrated storytellers, you know, writers, and so they love telling stories. So they'll sit down in their review and tell you the whole plot.
It's just a sled.
It's just, you know, all right.
What would you have them say?
I would have them talk about the story, the genre, the structure, how it works, whether the dialogue's good, whether the acting's good, whether the characterization's good. Is it shot well? Tell me about the film. I don't want to know the whole plot of the film. The premise is enough. But I feel often for me. Now, that's me. I never thought that was a weird feeling.
No.
Now she can read her story.
We need the foreplay.
Oh, see? Now, go ahead.
Here's from Reuters. If you're angry that someone spoiled the plot of a movie or revealed the ending of a book, don't be. A new study by researchers from the University of San Diego shows spoilers may enhance enjoyment, even for suspense-driven storylines and film plots. After studying three types of stories, ironic twist, mystery, and literary, by authors such as John Updike, Roald Dahl, and Agatha Christie, they found readers preferred versions with a spoiling paragraph written into the story. I was quite surprised by the results, researcher Nicholas Kristen said. Kristen, no, said in an interview. Like most people, I don't turn to the end of the book to see who dies or what happens. For the study, each story was read by up to 30 people and presented in two formats, in the original version and with a spoiling paragraph inserted into the story. Readers of all three story types preferred the spoiled versions of the stories more than the unspoiled versions. Plots are just excuses for great writing, Christian Feld explains. Nonetheless, plots are important, like a skeleton or a coat hanger. You need it to display the things that are important, but the plot itself isn't critical.
Now, okay, go ahead. Because I agree with that so vehemently, and I will go on about it. Go ahead.
Christian Feld said in many cases, a book or movie can be reread several or multiple times and still be enjoyable.
True.
As a film director, your job really isn't to come to the conclusion that the butler did. A single line would do that, he said. Once viewers know the ending of the film, they may want to view it again if things that had meaning or didn't meaning the first time they saw it. The researcher said in a study, which will be published in the journal Psychological Science, they found that the success of entertainment does not rest on suspense alone. Stories are a universal element of human culture, the backbone of the billion-dollar entertainment industry, and the medium through which religion and societal values are transmitted, they wrote in a report. Christian Feld and his co-author Jonathan Levitt added that the findings could mean that commonly held perceptions about suspense may also be incorrect. Perhaps, they said in the study, birthday presents are better when wrapped in cellophane and engagement rings are better when not concealed in chocolate mousse.
Now, you know, okay, first let me ask you.
Everybody likes chocolate mousse. That's bullsh.
Bullsh. Okay.
Bullsh.
Do you agree with this at all? Do you prefer to know the story before it happens? Do you like reading a review and getting the whole plot?
No! No!
Okay, Byron, do you?
Maybe my dummy says no.
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. Simply because I'm there for the visual.
Right.
The plot lines can only be so different so many times. So, I mean, there's story development and fine. Throw some wrench into the concept so it becomes very different. But ultimately, you know, you can't destroy the opportunity by telling me the plot line. I will still sit and enjoy the visual.
Oh, but I love a skanky movie with a lot of weird twists.
What kind of movie?
You know.
Okay. Did you say skanky?
You know, tacky.
Skanky, like weird.
Cheap. Yeah.
You like cheap.
You know, cheap thrill kind of movie.
Yeah, it's a great C movie, like we used to call them.
All right, you know what I think I got? I got to say now. First of all, I don't want to say I completely disagree. I think that it's a conditioning thing. I think, and maybe this is because I'm a writer. I have found time and time again, because I've been living this way now for a few years, watching these movies. You know, I want to be taken somewhere. Wherever the writer wanted to take me, wherever the storyteller wanted to, story they wanted to tell, take me there. And I go into it open for whatever it's going to be.
I agree.
I don't want to know anything. I really don't want to know anything. I really want to know even especially movies now that I really want to see. You know, where I used to couldn't wait to see as much as I could. I find that I'd rather go. I don't know what they've done. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to know. I never read spoilers. And I find the whole concept that there's a spoilers.com, like people just go. I don't get that.
That's stupid, because you're waiting for that thing to happen.
Well, that's me. But I think that we've become conditioned, though. I think that I and Rachel, if you stand with me, okay, I think that, like, for the most part, I think most people are like Byron. Byron says, oh, he's there, you know, there's so many stories you're going to tell. It's like, no, I don't want to give up. For me, I don't want to give up on the thrill of the, you know, I like you say, you know, maybe I wouldn't go for the skanky movie. All right. But I do like to have a movie take me somewhere, surprise me,
sure.
Show me something.
So what
twist,
is it? Is it power?
You know, and I have to say this, and I plan to play some of the music from it. I've been recently rewatching the first season of Heroes. And I got to tell you something. Now, I never got to see season 2, 3, and 4. I've heard season 2 fell apart, and season 3 they started to get back together. Season 4 was good, but by then nobody's watching. That's what I've heard. But season 1 is like, it's a masterpiece of plotting. It's just masterful storytelling. Byron, you've never seen it, I know. You'd be blown away. It's just so good. It's just so well done. Everything ties together. And again,
I like a good story.
I love it. Now, okay. because I don't have TV. Now, well, hear me out now.
Yeah.
Because I don't have TV, yes. You know, I don't watch TV, obviously, like a freak. But so I never see anything that's on television. I have to wait till it's on DVD. So, but throughout time, and same thing with Lost. It's like, as you're looking at the TV section, you're flipping through the newspaper, it starts telling you, well, and then when so-and-so's going to die, and da-da-da. You know, so, again, I have to even avoid reading those things, because I don't want to know that so-and-so's going to die in the second season, or that so-and-so's character is really a ghost, and that's revealed halfway through. I want to feel that reveal. That's now, that's just me.
Right, I agree with you.
Does that make any sense?
But if the twist makes the movie, it's probably not a great movie.
No, I agree. But as in the case now, I will say this. In a movie like The Sixth Sense, okay, where when you find out at the end, oh my God, he's really whatever, okay, watching the movie a second time is enjoyable because now you're seeing all the details. But that's a rare movie to me.
Watching it a third time.
Or even a third time. Well,
I've seen it. Or a fifth time.
It, you know, by the third or fourth time, you know.
But what I realized his mother was dead too.
You know, why you want to give away, why you want to have a spoiler here on the show where you're talking about how much I don't like spoilers? It's like, yes, and another.
Because everybody has seen the
Sixth Sense. No, everybody hasn't seen
Everyone
it.
Everyone has seen it.
A lot of people haven't seen it. See, there it is. Anyway, so that's what I'm just saying. What he just did, this is just what people do. People just talk about.
Well, we're talking about the movie, and if you didn't see, turn away. If you did see, listen.
So, that's
for
what I think.
For people that have seen the movie.
That's what I think. What do you think, Rachel?
Used to date a guy who would kill me if I ever gave anything away.
Good. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. But what is it? Is it power? People who want to know everything? People who use a website like spoilers.com?
I don't know. People seem to, but they said in this study that people
I remember when I was growing up, this one kid would go around and tell everybody that the end of Planet of the Apes. Some kid in like the 70s would be like, and in the Planet of the Apes, the ending is, and he would say the ending of Planet of the Apes.
I know you get beat up.
He was like some 11-year-old kid.
And you see, I have friends who like to do that, and I've had to, like, train them. Don't do that to me.
Yeah.
And then you go on with the evening.
But it is fun to talk to Mike after he's seen a film because he is so, like, with it, you know.
With?
Yeah, Mike is so with it.
I'm happening.
Explain yourself.
I'm happening.
You know, because he can see things that you may not necessarily see in a film sometimes. He can bring a good perspective to, especially if you really enjoy a film and Mike really enjoys a film, then he brings up other things. Right, Mike?
Yes.
Like, I finally saw The Town
by
Ben Affleck.
Wasn't that good?
I finally saw The Town by Ben Affleck.
That's my town.
You say that twice. Why did you say that twice?
Because you sounded
like... twice. Why did you say that twice?
Are you messing with me?
Would I do that?
Yeah. Anyway, I saw it and I thought it was really, really good.
Mm.
And Mike has no opinion on it. Well, there it is. Drop it on the floor and continue on.
Did you see the movie, Rachel?
Which?
The Town.
Oh, God, no. I heard it was awful.
You heard it was awful?
Yeah, it was awful. I even had a friend who worked on it. I should have seen it. No.
They said The Town was awful? Mike said it was good.
I don't know.
Why am I having little things at the bottom of the screen?
What is that? What? Now you're bugging out because the thing is, I've given up on it, you know? It shouldn't. My Flash Player is working. Everything's uploaded. It's just not working for me for some reason. So everyone's trying to help me, but it ain't working.
This is a live feed.
Those things are really UFOs.
Very much more responsive.
Yeah,
but this is what we're
picking up. Like, this is what other people are seeing. Bard, wave your hand. Aha. It's more instant. Far slower than
no, you're watching the live feed, you're watching the live feed.
It's working,
but everyone else is enjoying it, so that's all that's important.
Yeah.
Everybody's enjoying it, they're all seeing us. I like the whole behind the scenes thing, like the music's playing and they're adjusting the microphone, and the camera.
So, Mike, I know you don't know about everything that's going on in the world as it's
Berthold,
happening.
Look at this. Berthold, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Do you live here now? You're crazy.
He really wants to win a ticket.
Say hello, Berthold. No, that's not it. Oh, come on. You can't hide from us.
How are you doing?
This is our general manager.
You guys supposed to be doing a show here.
We are doing a show.
You guys having a party,
instead. This part of how we do this.
You're supposed to be having fun at BA.
What? You're not supposed to be having fun, I know. Exactly. I know. You can't have fun at BA, because if you do, then, you know, then what? Did you hear about the Hitler plot? The hormone, Hitler hormone plot? You heard about that. Did you know about that? You knew about it, I see. Okay. Okay, and this is another story. You can just read the headline here for us first, just to see what's coming up. All right, I've told. That was a special guest star.
Yes, always. It's nice to have him on board the Night Shift shuttlecraft.
That's how you know you're on
Night Shift.
Right.
General manager stops by. Right. Yes, go ahead, Chris. What
were you saying? Mike, in the news tonight or today, the CDC confirmed an amoeba killed a Florida teen. Two days after a 16-year-old...
Can I throw out a concept on that?
This is science fiction. I'm going to blow your mind now.
Okay.
2 days after a 16-year-old Florida girl died of an infection, CDC has confirmed that the culprit was a deadly amoeba, which is commonly found in lakes and rivers.
The deadly amoeba. Now, if the amoebas, which could possibly have been mutated by the radiation that has spread into the world's water supply. But here's the thing, Brian. You know, I was watching some movie over the weekend, and some character casually says to the other about disease. Actually, it was Heroes, and one son, you know, the scientist character, and the character casually says that you know, that mutations, you know, diseases as we know them, you know, like this giant amoeba, they're just nature's way of, you know, balancing things, yeah, balancing things out and killing off, you know.
Let me read you one more paragraph here.
Dangerous. So once there it is, Byron. Eventually, the Earth will rid itself of us.
And the attack of the amoebas are starting to gain.
Well, he's just telling the story now. Go ahead, Chris.
Let me just give you one more paragraph or two. Once the amoeba enters the brain, the amoeba enters the brain. Yes. It usually causes a fatal infection called primary amoebic, and then it's some kind of wacky long name, but the short version is called PAM. Initial signs of PAM include headache, fever, nausea, vomiting, loss of smell. The disease spreads rapidly and usually results in death within 3 to 7 days.
My goodness.
Wow.
Total a similar case down. Has been reported in an unidentified person in Virginia.
And it's in the waters. Now, can you imagine? There's the science fiction. No one can go into the water. The beaches are empty.
Can you drink
the amoebas.
Officials say 32 such infections
imagine
were reported.
Imagine if all of beach culture was wiped out on the planet.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine that, Brian?
Get out of
can
the
you
water.
Imagine, now, think about that. All right, we just avoid the water so we all get killed by the amoeba, okay? We can't eat fish anymore because it could have the amoeba.
I'll have to go to Arkansas.
Well, I'm just saying, you have to give up. Like, what will change? The various economies will be thrown into disarray, and there'll be people starving, and what'll happen, Byron?
The thought of going to Arkansas, I agree. Just,
you go to Arkansas?
No, I can't do that.
I don't know.
You go for freshwater fish.
I can't do Arkansas.
You said it's in rivers and seas? What is it, in freshwater or saltwater?
It just says lakes. And
that's freshwater. That's freshwater. So it's in the freshwater. So our freshwater could be poisoned with an amoeba that could kill us all.
Right. Right.
Well, there it is.
Within 7 days.
Within
that
7 days.
Attacks your brain and kills you.
You're tuned to listen to sponsored radio.
32 infections.
And this is the latest news. This is what's going on now.
What did you say about 32 infections?
What did he say about 32 infections?
What did you say about 32 infections?
What I was saying was, let me pull the right back up again here. That happened. Yeah, it's officials say 32 such infections were reported in the U.S. from 2001 to 2010. Mm-hmm. And the most recent previous case in Virginia was 1969. So this is something that's
been around for a long time.
It's been around for 10 years, but it's reestablishing itself.
Of course. The time is right.
See, the scary thing that I felt in the news today was they were like, well, you know, some radiation did detect it in California in March from Japan, but yeah, it couldn't really harm anybody. You know, they're just taking a big broom and sweeping over anything that
of course they
could
are.
Possibly. Like, you'll hear 2 years from now how messed up everything really is.
Ah, look, Eric Velasquez put it well. He put art versus entertainment. Spoilers turn art into entertainment. Yes, Eric. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Say that last part one more
time.
That
was it. That was it. Yes. He put that well. He said art versus entertainment. Spoilers turn art into entertainment. I agree with him 100% because the writer's intent is gone because they've had to market it. Okay, and so that you miss out and you just go for the effects and the explosions
once
or the girl or the scenario or the.
So the Italian police are mucking it up.
I don't know.
I mean,
once
think
again,
about it.
Eric Velasquez.
They're the ones who are
Chris
making it tough for the gladiators who are impersonated by the Byron. Local police department
Byron.
Is trying to keep the gladiators from fighting each other, and so they got to play gladiators and garbage collectors and sweet sweepers or whatever just to pretend
just
in order to set
head,
up a string,
Rachel,
sting operation to catch the people who were boring as gladiators.
Yeah.
Did I follow that correctly?
Amen.
It's my favorite show.
Night Shift.
Oh, yeah.
Night Shift.
Life is so confusing.
you give Byron a platform, he'll stand on it. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I know.
Mike, I have a story that's straight out of what we were discussing.
I too have a companion story.
Yes, I have.
You have a companion story. I too have a companion story. All right, what's your companion story, Mark?
Hey, a rejected movie script prompts California evacuation. You heard about this one, right?
Of course I did. Well, did you hear about this one, Chris?
No.
Yeah, well, this is a mind blower.
Yes, it's a mind blower. Several buildings and businesses in Beverly Hills were evacuated on Thursday due to a suspicious package. KABC photo shows what appears to be an exploded or a robot going to explode a perceived bomb.
Byron.
Yes, a writer.
Are you following yourself?
Yes, a writer desperate to get a movie script read suffered the ultimate rejection Thursday when police blew up a briefcase he had contained. He said contained the screenplay after an agent refused to read it.
He left the bag at the studio.
The bizarre
story.
They
thought it was a bomb.
The bizarre story was set in Beverly Hills.
How ironic.
Visited the office of the literary agent and left behind a briefcase that he said contained a computer. Anyway, the man left instructions for it to be delivered to someone at the business who told another person in the office. Well, this guy's been kind of pestering me to read his stuff. And so he said he either asked for the or nor wanted the briefcase, Cornelius said. That's the agent.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The security guard took the case into an alley, and a Los Angeles County Sheriff's bomb squad was sent to investigate the suspicious package.
Wow.
That's the next supermarket novel right
there. Exactly, exactly.
Yes. Officials sealed off one square block and evacuated dozens of people from a handful of businesses on nearby Rodeo Drive and Santa Monica Boulevard before blowing open the briefcase, which contained no explosives.
Here's the question.
Yes.
Do you think it's a good script or a bomb?
Well, considering that it was on
I could know
film.
You know, there it is. So what do you think? Do you think he'll be like the bomb script writer?
Reality.
Bomb script writer gets deal.
Another reality show.
You think so?
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's a good
thing. What do you put him on, C-SPAN?
Almost TV?
C-SPAN.
How about almost the news?
C-SPAN. Chris?
Yes.
What do you think of that story?
It's weird, man.
Life is like science fiction. Now, here's my companion story, Byron.
Yes.
You have a companion?
Killer fungus caused extinction.
When?
A fungus may have contributed to the world's great die-off some 250 million years ago.
Okay.
Paleontologists have puzzled over stringy-looking fossils called something I can't pronounce, which appear in rocks deposited worldwide during the mass extinction that ended the Permian period of geologic time. Now, scientists in the Netherlands, England, and California suggest fossils resemble modern-day soil fungi that include... That's right. That, do you want me to say that again?
Is there a possibility?
Let me finish. That include many plant pathogens. Fungi spreading through the Permian Age plants may have helped kill off forests. Scientists proposed in geology.
You sounded like Bill Crosby. I said Crosby.
Yeah. I was being Crosby. There it is. It's a year to be, so Byron, now super amoeba.
Yes.
Fungi that causes extinction.
There is a fungus that's among us.
There it is. Now, if you want to go see 5 Days of War, I'm going to tell you one more time. Email us at lifeislikesciencefiction. Now, here's the other thing I forgot to mention, that the stars of the film will be there to intro the film.
Whoa.
That's right. 5 Days of War. There was a special screening this Wednesday, the 17th, at 7 p.m. at the Angelica Film Center. If you want tickets, all you have to do is email me.
Yes.
lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. Just put in 5 Days of War in the heading, and that's it. I'll email you your ticket. You print it out.
Get out of here.
You go bring somebody else. Byron, wow. If you email me, I'll send you one.
I wrote it down.
And you too, Rachel.
lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com.
That's
get your free tickets. What's the name of this movie?
5 Days of War.
Mm. 5 Days of War.
Yes. And we gave away a spoiler on it earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's two programs, two shows.
And remember, killer fungus.
There's a fungus that's a
caused extinction.
That's right.
Now, you still have another story for us?
Hey. About fungi. You've heard about the ergo?
The ergo?
The fungal infection, ergo?
No. Talk to me.
I was just looking at this today. You probably have heard some version of this, that it causes ergotism, when it's, they blame this infection that attacks rye bread, or the rye seed. It's used in rye bread.
Yes. Wait a minute. There's something going on delusions. On the rye bread?
Yeah, hold on now.
Yeah! Always has been. Right. Yeah, no, they blame this... they blame this sort of infection on a lot of, like, delusional activity dating back to the Salem witch hunt.
So you're saying people who ate rye bread are delusional?
People who ate rye bread had infected rye bread.
Infected are delusional now.
Back in the day of the ergo.
Oh.
This fungal infection.
So various things that they saw were spirits and evil things, were people just being sick.
They were just eating the bad bread.
They ate bad bread.
So
that's interesting.
So pastrami on rye.
That's right.
Could really be damaging to your health.
You'd be better off with the Seafair salad.
$16.95.
The sandwich must be like $12.
It's that thick.
It's got to be. How much is the sandwich?
Yeah, man, I'm going to go ahead and cite Wikipedia on that. We all know it's more accurate.
Well, you know. Than Britannica. What does wiki mean anyway? W-I-K.
You know, wiki.
Wiki means somebody's going to jail.
That's what I mean. The, as we watch the transition of words that mean nothing into something, it's right. Like wiki. They all have wiki this, wiki that, wiki right. Various other wikis. What the hell does wiki mean?
You're going
it's
to jail.
It's like iPhone. Hey. The I in iPhone. Does it stand for internet? Does it stand for me?
Feeds our narcissism.
And it's just, yes, it feeds our narcissism. It has no meaning, but it takes on meaning. It takes on meaning. That's right.
Everything takes on meaning.
So, Did you have a story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, talk to me.
About the man who claimed to be a vampire attacks woman.
Yep, talk to me.
That's Mike's favorite.
There it is.
Mm. This is Galveston, Texas. Galveston police said a man bit a woman on her neck, and while beating her in her apartment, he claimed to be a vampire. The attack happened early Saturday morning at the Oceanfront Apartments on Seawall Boulevard in Galveston. Investigators said Lyle Bensley used his foot to break the door down and get inside the woman's apartment. The alleged victim said she had never met Bensley.
So someone she doesn't know breaks in and says, and do vampires, do they announce themselves? I am here to bite your neck.
The obvious
do they have to announce? I thought they have to be invited in.
They have to be invited in. I was just going to say that. They have to be invited in.
And they have theme music.
Maybe they prepare port those kind of theories on their own just so that, like, you think that you can be safe and you're never really safe. They just put that out there. It could be vampire propaganda.
She managed to get away, but she might be a vampire now. Doesn't say.
Oh.
They don't say anything. Like, they haven't, So what? How did they catch him? How did they get him before he, you know, sucked her dry?
I guess the blood on his tie.
He left a trail of blood.
No.
He started dragging the woman down the hallway, but she managed to get away.
He was taking her out. Where was he taking her to?
The parking lot. Officers arrived
at the apartment. To the coffin.
A few minutes later, they found Bensley in the parking lot wearing boxers. He was arrested and charged with burglary.
Burglary. Stuff.
I guess they don't really know how to classify the whole vampire thing.
How about assault, battery, attempted murder?
Well, the alleged victim suffered minor injuries but did not have to go to the hospital.
Could you imagine arresting him and he's like, I'm a vampire. And he's like, you know, Nicolas Cage from that bad injuries. Film.
Yeah, he just got a little dead skin off. You know,
yeah. Vampire.
Minor injuries, but he bit her on the neck.
I have a question.
It was a minor bite.
Hey,
you have a question, Byron? What could that possibly be?
I am a vampire.
Do vampires do kinky stuff?
You know, apparently so.
Well, if you watch True Blood, which is on HBO...
What happened? Did they try and take a picture of him and it didn't come out in the mugshot or anything?
That's pretty cool, Mike.
Anything like that?
He confirmed he's a vampire. We couldn't get his picture.
Somehow...
That's pretty good. I like that.
You like that? That's how they find out. They pick up this bum. All right. Anyway, what were you going to say? Was that the end of the story there, Rachel?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's over. Nothing happened. Who knows what happened to him?
Okay. Well, there it is.
Well, they always inform so much information. They always give a lot of information.
The rest is...
They always leave out like the important things. You're standing there going, "Well, what happened with this?" And it's like you can't find anything else. It's just,
totally,
the story.
Area 51 worthy.
Yeah, we'll they have a lot of stories like that. There to go, you know. Mm. You know, caped man saves whatever. You never say, "Well, who was the caped man?" What became, you know,
exactly.
The caped man saves bull. You know, and okay, but you never found out where the caped man.
No.
Byron, you have another story?
Actually, I have an announcement.
What's going on at the Wyckoff?
Right. Well, not at the Wyckoff, but in Brooklyn, there's a wellness back to school event. It's called No Batteries Necessary.
Okay.
Yes, and it's free to the public.
There you go.
The Arms of Love Community Outreach, Inc. of South Jamaica, Queens, New York City will present its second annual wellness back to school community event, No Batteries Necessary. It's on Saturday, August the 27th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Merrick Park Baptist Church, over at 12002 Marsden Street, Jamaica, New York. Free to the public. For more details, 646-770-2382. I understand you're going to give away school supplies to kids. They've got a free mammogram for women. Free blood.
You're looking at me with the mammogram comment. What are you talking about? 21.
And even a prostate free prostate screening.
Free mammogram.
For men.
He looked at you.
It's a family affair.
What?
Event.
Don't get sucked into Byron's vampires.
Exactly.
That's how he does it.
Tell my house.
You know, Byron likes to, likes to give free mammograms. We should make fun of this. Byron will give you a free mammogram.
Oof, so scary.
For more details, 646-770-2382. Anyway.
Pay no attention to the man. Hello, you're on the air. Who else is here?
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
Is it true that your download name is Dolores?
Your dummy name? Dolores? Your dummy.
No, it's DeLorean.
Yeah, DeLorean.
Okay.
DeLorean, like the band?
Yeah, well, like the car. What's the phone number here, Byron?
212-209-2900.
So, Chris, tell me what's your facade? Like, yes, what will you be willing to reveal? What do you project more of than is really there in general?
Hello.
Chris is like...
I like the violence. Oh, no. Yes. Deadly. The silence is deadly. He didn't reveal anything. What do I... Specifically? Like, what are you... like, what are you...
I don't understand what you're asking me.
What do I reveal and then don't reveal? I don't know. I guess it all depends on who I'm with.
All right. How about this? I'll phrase it differently. How do you come across that is different than who you are? What do people see that you don't maybe even realize you're putting out, but you know because people say you are?
What?
What? Yes.
Oh my God.
Are you really who you are, or are you somebody else?
I don't know. Maybe these abstract thoughts are a sign of... What is that, Byron?
No, you know, Mike, you once said to me that I could make somebody like me or hate me in 30 seconds.
I said that?
Yes.
And that sounds good, but I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, you said that to me. You said I have the power or the ability to, whatever that would be, not like you or hate you.
Well, after knowing you, yes.
I have to be very careful of that because I can make somebody like me or hate me instantaneously and forever because of what I can project out. That's what you said. You said that I have to be careful of that. You revealed that to me. You got to watch that because, you know, that's what you always said to me. So that's something I wasn't really aware of, that I have that ability, you know.
Have you owned that ability now?
No, because sometimes you can just... I can make somebody not like me very quickly, and I can make somebody like me very quickly. So I guess I agree with you on that, I guess.
I understand. I'm glad I was so...
No, you're very, very...
prescient.
Very... insightful.
Oh, thank you, Chris. All right, I can tell you, Byron. I'll give you an example from myself. Yes. I think that in general, I come across as more dispassionate than I really am. I think people, depending on the relationship you have, people often see me as not having no feelings, but just, you know, unaffected. When in fact, that is not the case.
Aloof?
Aloof, perhaps.
You're a Smith song, aren't you?
Well, no, but you're very guarded.
Why, yes, I am.
Very guarded. That's what.
No, I don't think I'm guarded. I don't think so.
You're very guarded about that. You make sure you don't let people see that side of you. Yeah.
What side of me? What side of you?
That you actually can care more than you actually would reveal.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so.
Really?
You know,
do I come across like I don't care?
Sometimes you can. I mean, you're aloof. Byron put the right word in there.
Byron, do I come across as aloof sometimes?
Occasionally. But that's okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Do I seem aloof to you, Rachel?
We all have our...
brief.
Jiggy.
Jiggy.
I
thought he said cheeky.
You know how you hide the aloofness, Mike? You hide the aloofness.
I hide the aloofness.
Without even responding, you will just blow on by it. You can just blow on by it. Never even respond. And that's what Byron's seeing is the aloofness. But it's like you even hide the aloofness.
No, I've just learned to...
You just learned
to not engage. You don't engage.
You learn to blow on by it.
Stupidity.
So I just don't pay attention.
Yeah. No, Mike pays attention to everything. Mike doesn't miss a beat. He sees all.
Mike has never acknowledged certain things because they're not worth acknowledging. So, you know. But
right, Rachel? Am I right? Did I nail Mike down? Did I give him a...
have to ask her in like, you know, a year.
Oh, she's new on the frontier, isn't she?
She's new on the frontier.
Welcome to the frontier.
Get off your horse.
Exactly. There's gold in those hills.
Welcome to the frontier. You're like, I think
she's just a young girl that just decided to come on up on the boat.
Chris is Byron.
Chris is, we call him Pappy. So, Byron.
Mike.
All right, you have another story there, and then Byron.
Yeah, Mike will tell you a story.
What's your story?
Are we talking about pumping groundwater raises sea level?
Yes.
All comes back to the different waters.
Okay.
The removal of groundwater for drinking, irrigation, and other uses appears to have contributed more than 6% of the global sea level rise incurred since 1900, a new study finds. Leonard Kinnegal of the U.S. Geological Survey in Reston, Virginia, used data sources from around the world to show that over this time, groundwater extraction transferred some 4,500 cubic kilometers into the oceans. And the rate has increased since 1950, and especially since 2000, when groundwater releases are estimated to have increased sea level some 0.4 millimeters per year. Kinnegal presents his analyses in a paper that will appear in Geophysical Research Letters, in case anyone's subscribing to that.
No, I subscribe to that.
Yeah.
I read Science Daily and Science News and New Scientist.
Geophysical Research Letters.
I look at them online. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I must know what's happening. What's happening? All right, so let me ask you a question. Does that surprise you that the drinking water is raising the levels of the ocean? So, in other words, in another way, whatever we're doing for us to survive is rapidly bringing our own demise.
Well, here's the idea. Water can't go anywhere, right?
Okay.
Is it a silly idea?
So it just, yeah.
It has to go somewhere.
That's right. Back into the oceans.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but there's a concept that there's just too many people on the planet anyway.
Well, that's what these diseases are for. If you thin out the herd can survive.
I don't know. Yeah. There could be a Z factor here that's maybe not.
What's the Z factor?
The Z factor is global warming, of course, right?
Well, what do you see the global warming is helping?
Oh, I mean, raising sea level.
Oh, no. That's part of it. They're saying that the global warming's doing. Mm-hmm. We all know the global warming's doing that, and the ice glaciers.
No.
Let me finish. We all know. That,
yes.
Anyway, we know all that. They're saying that now the drinking water is also contributing.
Well,
that's correct.
That's why it would come down, I don't know, to a Z factor. But I really
What's the
think
Z factor?
This,
Explain
the
Z,
the, I wonder the Z factor being global warming. I mean, the Z factor concept is that I'm saying that, like, well, this is happening, and this is also happening, meaning, you know, drinking water levels are going down. Sea level is going up, and that assuming that the two are correlated,
yes,
is assuming that there is no other factor, you know,
like, yeah, but see, the weight of the planet is shifting because of all the rain moving.
The rain is moving.
Yeah, see, like, all right, because now you know so much
rain. Isn't that what rain
getting?
Does? Isn't rain actually water moving from the
it moves
upper
it's moving so it changes the shift of the planet because planet's going to weigh differently in different areas. Where does all that water go? It goes into the ground, and then what happens to it? See, and it all just piles up down there, and then it just changes the weight, and then the planet shifts.
Professor, can I ask you a question? Professor Karatikas.
Yes. That's what I think's happening, and I think it's gradually happening. Like how much rain did we get? Like, it's raining, like, it's been raining, like, 24 hours out by my house today. Where's all that water going?
Where's it coming from? It's moving. It's moving the Earth. The rain is moving the Earth.
Yeah, changing the.
That's a new concept.
The weight of the planet.
You could do something with that.
You mean the center of mass, not necessarily.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because like the polar ice caps are melting, so now there's like more water, and all that water just seems to like it seems to be like we're having rainier and rainier days. Is that rainier days?
The rainier days. Isn't it just
sort
the mix
of, like
of
a Paul McCartney song?
I think that the weather is probably more likely just a cause of more activity from hot and cold fronts, more hot and cold fronts, more unequal heating from global warming. You know, all these storms. Just these patchy hot spots, patchy cold spots.
But the water's changing. Like, so they had a lot of drought in Texas and stuff, so, like, the water's all coming, it's all moving, so it's all changing. I just think it's all changed. The planet's just
I know. Big droughts now. The big dry spell in New Mexico, I guess, down there.
And now I think we're didn't you guys get like 7 inches yesterday or something?
Almost 8 inches.
8 inches of rain in one day. It's never heard of. That's never heard of. Where'd all that water go?
Unequal heating. It's like you're all of a sudden thrown into this pool and you're looking around for the warm spot.
Mm.
You know,
well, it's all going into the ground and the ground's changing and everything.
You're thrown into
out
a pool and you're looking around. Now, why is there a warm spot in the pool?
Don't ask me.
I just want to know, you know, because if there's a warm spot in the pool, that's not always a good thing.
If there's a warm spot in the pool, because somebody let one go.
Well, you see, there it is. Mm. You didn't have to say that.
Mm. Why didn't I have to say
atomic
that?
Atomic water.
You know, subtle is better. What did you say?
Atomic water.
Atomic water.
Sterile.
I do want to say that you are tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI. We have 11 minutes left, and we're going to compress time now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm ready.
So can that you do that?
Yes, we can.
I'm ready.
We can compress time so that it seems like we have more time than we do.
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready to compress.
You ready to compress?
Yes, sir. I'm glad we're here and now so we can do our due. Because a hero's a swing, a dead and gone. But the memory of swing still lingers. And I'm from tradition, the man, they are pretty cool.
Begin to tell the story of how great a love can be, the sweet love story that is older than the sea, the simple truth about the love he brings to me. Where do I start?
DGM.
DGM.
Shirley Bassey.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, they're saying online that Byron's high on life.
Okay.
Byron, raise your hand.
Hey, baby. It's all live and living color.
Raise your hand.
Wave it in the air like you just don't care.
Then they said about Rachel, they go, what is she talking about? They were like, what is she saying? Or something like
yeah, if they play it back, they'll understand.
It's all a song.
What is she talking
together.
About? Like, she was just going on about something.
You don't understand until you've, like, once you know the plot of the show, then when you listen back, the second time you view it, it's even better.
It's even better.
They say Mike is keyed into the electro music scene.
He's what? Keyed in?
You are keyed into the electro...
music scene.
Music
scene. Ah, nice. It's my favorite show.
And then this guy says he wishes that there would be a UK-type riot in New York City.
Yeah, good. I'd like to be there for that. Can I say this about the riots? I just want to say something about the riots.
Yeah, why don't you? I
put this interesting link up on my page. Did you see that link that I had on my page, Byron?
Yes.
With the UK, and they spoke to that older West Indian gentleman. I thought that was very interesting. I thought it was very interesting what he had to say and how they treated him and all of it. But I will say this. You know, people ask, why are the riots spreading? You know, after the Rodney King verdict, I remember being in Times Square with a huge amount of people who were there to hear whatever was being said. And then this protest began to pick up speed until it was a full tilt run. And they ran through Penn Station. They had, like, everything sectioned off so they could walk through. They're supposed to walk through. They just ran through, tore through, and you're in the crowd and you're running. It's not like any other feeling I've ever had. It's just, you're in that, you know. Luckily, it was not crazy like that, but you get caught up.
Running of the bulls.
You can get a new handbag.
You get caught up, that group mind thing. Yes, yeah. You get a new handbag.
You got a loot.
So, no, I didn't loot. There was no looting, but I could see how you could get.
You
would you be looting? You'd be looting, would you?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Would you be a looter? Would you be a looter?
My dummy would say no.
Your dummy would say
no. You would be looting? You're on the tilt of a bad girl, aren't you?
Chris is projecting.
No, I'm not. I'm listening to what she's saying.
Chris is projecting because he is a bad girl.
That was the kind of world.
All right, Byron, you have a story?
Yes, I do, Mike.
Quickly, right, Byron,
here
quickly.
We here we go.
Quickly, we have to compress time, Byron.
Yes, Creepy Robot Head reads music and sings.
Creepy Robot Head?
Yes.
Isn't that a band?
That's a good name for a band.
Good name for a band, go ahead.
All right, anyway, yes.
Hey, boo-boo!
The Creepy Humanoid Head.
Oh, hey, Yogi.
Can read a simplified music score before singing the song. In a synthesized voice. You see, this is a somewhat disconcerting experience, but its developers are happy enough with their invention to claim that a collection of these singing heads could one day form part of a robotic theater troupe.
Hello, you're in there. Yes, who is this?
It was Nick Walters. I was in New York City that same day, okay? Like you said about Penn Station, and oh, what's going to happen? They were nervous. And I stayed in New York. I lived in New York, but I stayed in the city. And just like you said, and I rode the subways, and people just were. They were calm. You know, like, I didn't have the experience you did, but there was no looting that I knew of.
No, there's no looting.
You know, they held their own, which was very cool. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. I was going to ask her what her dummy was, but it didn't seem appropriate.
What her dummy was?
I wanted to know. What do people think she is? And what is she really? Mm. People think that Byron is awake and he's not.
That's really funny.
Well, you are tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. This is more... Jazz Lounge Project here.
And I'm still live and in living color.
Yes, you are. You can visit us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com.
Yes. Don't forget about the tickets.
And don't forget about the tickets. And if you're interested in getting a copy of Dumbstruck, I didn't get to play the interview because we kept talking. But it was only a 7-minute interview. And I played it when the movie came out.
Yes.
But you can get a free copy of the DVD. Just put Dumbstruck, Life is Like Science Fiction, at gmail.com. Or if you want to go to see 5 Days of War being introduced by some of the stars of the film this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Angelica, just email us and we will send you the ticket you can print out on your own.
Yep.
Tell me.
That's as easy as it gets.
Are you going to be there, Rachel?
When? Sorry? What?
She's like, what show is this?
Well, have her grand be there.
Where did she go?
Yogi will be there.
Where did you go? She faded away.
She faded away. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Yes.
Yo, what's up, man?
We're compressing time. Who is this?
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Yeah, I need a big favor. Am I speaking to Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, how much you got? Okay. How much money you got, man?
Who, me?
Yeah, if you need a favor, man.
Oh, yeah, not
this
enough.
This is Mike.
when your show started, you played a jazz tune, and what was the name of that?
All right, you'll have to email me, because
that's
I have to go back.
Okay, I don't even own a computer.
You heard the jazz tune at the beginning, the very beginning?
It's the theme.
Yeah.
Was it our new theme?
Yeah.
You know? You don't even have a computer, you can't email me. Call us. We have a phone number, and I'll leave it back to you. You can call the Night Shift Hotline, 212-209-2970. 212-209-2925. That's 212-209-2925. And listen, if you don't have a computer and you want to get the tickets, you can call and we'll figure something out. You must know somebody.
I'm down for the music, though. That was great.
All right, well, call me. Leave me a message.
Did it have saxophone in it?
I'm the guy that wanted to know about that music.
Did you try to get the number one more time?
All right, it's 212.
Uh-huh.
209-2925.
2925.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Byron?
Mike.
I think this is it. All right, who else is here? Somebody else was still here?
Yeah, I want to say good night to you, Dolores.
All right.
Oh, that was funny. That was very funny.
All right, this has been Night Shift. And something else is coming on, probably Jimmy Dore.
Jimmy Dore. Follows us all around the city.
And next week, we're going to have live here on the show, on the phone, Paul Rodriguez. Live here.
Goodness.
That's right, live on the show.
I can't
And we will be streaming.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to be physically there?
No, he'll be on the phone.
Oh.
But we'll be here.
Live.
So stay tuned.
Yes.
Right.
Peace out, New York.
So, Rachel, what did you think of your first Night Shift encounter?
It was great.
You will be absorbed.
I had an amazing time. Lovely people.
Resistance lovely people.
I think I love you, Rachel.
Yeah.